All right, all right. Welcome to the Revival Podcast. I'm Dave Butler.
I'm Stephen Tager.
I'm Low Church. Just kidding. If you didn't listen last week, that was so stupid. Like, I'm tempted to edit it out, but I'm not. I want y'all to get the real and the raw here, everybody. We're so happy you're here. This is the Revival Podcast. This is where we talk about the faith principles that like light us up. We are following through General Conference, the different talks and the different like applications and the principles and promises that we find in there, the questions that are answered in each talk that really like give us a chance to like each week have a weekly revival, yeah, right? Like, you know, oh man.
We believe in a living faith, and General Conference is a chance for the word of the Lord to come to us in a way that's, this is what we need to hear right now. This is specifically designed for our people at this time, and how can we strengthen our faith right now?
Yeah, and it's relevant. And sometimes it loses that on conference weekend. And so you kind of have to have moments like this, I think, like to set it aside out of the weekend. And we're far enough, we're enough weeks away at this point to just be like, I've actually forgot everything that happened. Unless you've got a temple announced in your city. But other than that, you're like, I actually can't remember. I think President Nelson said be nice. And that's all I can remember, you know, from right. It. So I think it is just rad to bring it up again and see how relevant what was taught there actually is and can be.
Life-changing, right? And helpful, right? Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And last week we did talk about like life-changing moments and things that happen like in a general sense, like throughout, you know, across the board in a life. And today we're talking about something like a little bit more, one of those in particular.
Right, right.
Which is church.
Sunday morning.
Take me to church.
Sunday morning.
You know, it is actually quite hilarious. Number one, that the greatest time people have cheered in conference is when church got lowered from 3 hours to two. And I promise you, it was not because we get to spend more time with our families discussing. Like, that was not why people were happy.
Oh, man.
Which is sort of sad. Yeah. I think across all, I mean, we could talk across all faith traditions that like going to church is something that like the grandma loves. You know, and everybody else don't. And mom and dad make you do. Like, yeah. Growing up, I'm like, do my parents like this? Like, they're making me go to this. They actually, like, genuinely like going. And then I became a parent, and I want to tell all the children, no, you actually make me hate Sunday morning. Like, I, right now I go to church at 1 o'clock. That does not matter. That actually does not matter. It does not change the time church starts. Will not change
if
the experience I have. Yeah, the experience I have on a Sunday morning. I don't care if church is at 9 a.m. I don't care if it's at 1 p.m. I don't care if it's on a Tuesday, a Wednesday. I don't care if it's on the 4th of July. There are things that will happen every single time that are beyond. Like, how does this happen every single week?
It's World War III Sunday. Like, how is it possible that the moment before we're supposed to have the most holiness in our life, like everything that possibly can go wrong absolutely does.
Every time. Number one, why on earth can no one find their shoes on a Sunday morning? I want to have death. Like, who is stealing the shoe?
There is a shoe leprechaun.
Listen, there's a shoe elf. There's an elf. You didn't know about the story. I was telling him yesterday, I was like, there is a story about the shoemaker's elves. Abby, do you know that story? The shoemaker? Okay. No one is helpful in this world. I don't care what it is. There is a demon.
From Hades. Yeah. He wakes up on Saturday night when everyone goes to bed, and he takes the youngest kid's shoes, and he spreads them around the house. The fridge, the stove, the neighbor's fridge, and your job is to find it. And he's sitting in the corner laughing his evil laugh.
You can't find your stupid shoe to go to church.
I'm not bitter. I'm fine.
I think, and the voice I use to get people to get into the car, like I'm just like, I cannot understand why this is a thing. And I think out of the womb comes a handbook for every dad that says you have to actually honk in the garage for people to get in the car to come to church. Like, and I hate it.
Or fast Sunday, you go walk into your kitchen, and you're about to remind your kids like, oh, it's Fast Sunday, and they're like basting a turkey.
Why have you made the most exotic breakfast on the? It's like every Sunday morning is like a terrible experience, you know? And then you walk into church and it's like the picture of everybody walking in, like all nice and everything, getting in there. And you're just like, it's all lies.
Sorry. You told me once about, did I cut you off? What do you want to say?
No.
What do you
want to say? No, that. No.
I just remember this story. You said something about sunshine and our soul one time.
Oh, my. Well, listen. I was walking into church a little bit late. Nobody judged me. And they were singing the opening song, and the song was, "There is sunshine in my soul today." And it legit sounded like this. There is sunshine in my soul today. More. And I'm like,
we're going to the Methodist church.
I walked in. I was like, there. And I laughed when I walked into the door. Like, the irony of it made me laugh. And Jenny hits me. And, like, I kind of caused a scene. Like, a bunch of people looked. And when they looked at me, and I was like, there's actually no sunshine in any of your souls. I don't know if you know that. Like, you're not even listening to, like, the words that are happening here. But, and then I will go and sit myself on the hard chairs in the back with my cold bum against those metal chairs where I have to stop the kid from banging the car. I was like, if you were to give me the soft pew, you wouldn't hear it. There's another church happening in the back. People in the front are having a whole nother experience. And we're having our own church in the back. I want everybody to know that's what's going on back there. But, like, it not only is it, like, just this wild and, like, you know, hectic experience in the morning, it's also, like, more troubling to me that, like, church could be a dreaded experience, you know, really? Not just because of that, for sure. Cause of that. But like, if you're not a parent, you actually could have your own opinions and feelings and thoughts about church where you're like, what if I don't enjoy the experience at all? Like, right. What if I go and I'm bored or I'm like counting the, you know, a Netflix show can pass like that. I can binge 4 or 5 and I didn't even know the time went anywhere. But my word, the minutes in a sacrament meeting are like dog years. What? They are slower. They are like, why in the world? This is 60 minutes? This is a lie. You're doing something to the clock. The leprechaun is back. And he's winding the clock back because I'm like, are you for real? And like that's kind of like funny, haha. But it's also like that's like that's troubling to me that like if I, the experience where I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
Shouldn't I like love this experience? Should I want to be here and
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the 7 deadly sins, acedia, is apathy. Like boredom. I just don't care.
Yeah, which is interesting because like
it's like you
call that deadly and I'm like it gets, you know, but
it
like
is, right.
Yeah, because that's actually fitting because it's like, well, I'm a little dead inside.
Right.
Right. You know, and I don't know. I just feel like sometimes people are like, yeah, it's my problem if church is boring. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's always the talk.
Right,
it's always if you would, you know?
Yeah. Like, I think it's possible. I think we should be open to the possibility that people can give a boring sacrament meeting talk.
Okay, yeah, true.
Like, yeah, you know, like,
Let's just say that.
Let's just be open to the possibility that not everyone's, like, really getting into the hymn. Yeah. Right? Can we just be open to that?
Sunshine in my soul.
And so, no, and I do believe in a God who can work through any situation, any boring talk to speak to me, right?
Sure.
So that we're not saying that, right? If the Lord can work through me, he can work through anyone, right?
And there's something to be said that if I'm on a ward council, I ought to be like cognizant of the fact, like aware of the fact that I have a lot of control over the experience I'm creating for people.
A surprising amount.
Yeah, like let's not put all the blame onto the people coming.
Right.
And say like, well, you know, if you speak by the Spirit, they should feel, or whatever, and it's just like, okay, yeah, but what if you created I mean, there's something about when you go to General Conference, for example, and you're like, somebody put all those flowers up really particularly to try and create experience. Right. It might not do it for you, but somebody like put an effort in to create an experience. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And I think there's something to that that ought to be said, but it's not to everybody because not everybody's on a ward council. When I was on a ward council, like our like thought process through the whole thing was, what if this was our job? Let's act like this is our job. Let's act like people don't have to come. Let's act like they're choosing whether they want to come. And can we create an experience for people where they actually want to come and not just say like, well, you're supposed to like this.
Right.
Like what if Disneyland said, you're just supposed to like it. They would actually go out of business. But like they create an experience for people right. that they're just like, you know.
And if there's and if you're listening to the Revival podcast, there's a good chance that you are one of the people that can help improve this in your very ward. So we're not pointing fingers, right? We are the members of the ward that are supposed to help make it an awesome experience for yeah. people. Right?
So on one end, yes, there is some things that could be done, you know, where people can be a little bit more deliberate about this. But what about me? Like, what about like just my own
right.
experience? And we read Elder Rasband's talk.
He has the answer. I'm not kidding.
The answer is there.
Go to Ghana.
Exactly.
move out of the United States. And I saw those pictures and I hear those stories and I'm like, will they accept me into their ward?
Yeah.
Can I get first of presidency permission to move into that ward?
that's
where I want to go to
that's
church.
That's not my church. I do not recognize a church. Like I'm just like, I read it and you're just like, oh my gosh, my, like I say like Alma of old, my soul did long to be there. You know, where I'm like, oh my.
The single greatest moment in podcast history, that moment you just did, by the way. That was my favorite. I think we're done. Stop the podcast. That was it. It can't get any better after
But he that. Talks about being at this conference in Ghana and like, I mean, what? You just read some of the, what that church experience was okay. like.
So Elder Rasband walks in to Ghana and he has the church's app has these pictures and it just looks amazing. He says, I felt their profound love and devotion to the Lord. Now, that sounds simple, but can you walk into a room and feel someone's love for God?
And devotion to him?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like that would be so interesting to take someone who's not of our faith and say, hey, will you just walk in to my sacrament meeting and just tell me what is the vibe? What is the feel that you get from these people?
Mm.
And those answers a lot of times would be super encouraging. And then some of those answers, maybe we need to work on some things. I think people would walk in and they would see us happy, joyous, connecting, laughing. And then other moments, maybe we could follow the example of the saints in Ghana. He also says this. He says, they deemed it the I Love You conference. That's what they called
see,
it.
No one's called my conferences that.
And in the footnote, this is what he says. I gotta read this. Footnote 6, every time I spoke with members, says Elder Rasband, they would say to me, Elder Rasband, our dear apostle, I love you. These people are so filled with the Spirit and the love of God that they share that love easily. I'm buying a plane ticket. I'm moving.
Do you know I saw this?
I want to go to church there.
Listen, I remember this clip from a long time ago when President Hinckley was going to Ghana. And like, it was actually like so awesome. They had all these kids who were in front, it was for a temple dedication. And they, like, all the kids were sitting there, like, all in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
And they made up a song because, like, I never heard it before. I never seen it in any book, but it was just like, we love our prophet. He is our prophet. Welcome to prophet. We love my prophet.
Don't stop.
I know. No, and then they interviewed this guy, and he was like, do you know today President Hinckley is coming to my Ghana, to my prophet? You know, and I was like, you're so excited. Like, I was like, yeah. I like love that so much.
He continues, I love it too. He says this, I could see in their faces the glow of testimony and a faith in Jesus Christ. And see, this is where words start to get difficult. Because we know what Elder Rasband's trying to say, but that's hard to capture. When you say glow of testimony, he says, and when the choir sang, they sang like angels.
And that choir, if you look at the picture, they all wore their uniforms like the same. I'm just like, this
is that against the rules? No. Can our choirs have?
Yes.
Oh, man, says Dave Butler, authoritative. Write it down in the handbook. It counts. Okay, so what is it? So what's the answer?
Well, I think that footnote, part of that footnote was the answer. And like, it's interesting what's that different? It's in yeah, there. Yeah. What is different in there? And it's just like this says they were filled with the Spirit of the Lord and with love.
Right.
And I feel like there is something about that where I'm just like, hold on. What I bring to it and then collectively makes a difference. Like what happened there is everybody brought it individually and then they experienced the collective experience. Mm. They went with a different kind of intention.
Absolutely.
That I'm usually going with. And I feel like if I walked into that room, I would be infected by it and change my intention.
No question.
You know? The question is, can that kind of experience happen?
They just look like so, yeah. They just look so happy, excited. It's like when they go to church, it's not because they feel like they have to. It's not to conform to the cultural norms of that neighborhood. Like church for them is a celebration.
Right.
It's like church is a time to celebrate. It's a party for prodigals. That's what it is.
Bro.
And all of us are prodigals. And so when we go to church, it's to remember that we are forgiven, accepted in Jesus because of what he did in Golgotha and in Gethsemane. And so when we go to church, it's a time to celebrate. Now in our tradition, we have ways of doing that. Reverence invites revelation, but it's a reverent celebration of the goodness and grace of God.
Yeah, but that word, that one primary song had it on, right? When they're like, reverence is more than just quietness, right? To revere, right? Is to just like, oh, I have like such utter like respect and love and admiration for you. I want to celebrate you. I want to adore you. And there's something about that. That prodigal parable is like all three of the parables in that chapter, Luke 15, end with a party. They all end with a celebration,
right?
And I want to say, if what I think about the gospel, what I think about the character and nature of God doesn't tempt me to lace up my dancing shoes, then you actually don't have the right mindset or idea about who. And yes, there's a way to, listen, one day we might put our hands up in church. I'm just saying, like, this might come to pass. I hope it will come to pass. But like what's happening in the heart is more important than the outer expression anyways.
Right. I think Elder Rasband in the talk, he quotes, can you sing now? Can you feel so now? Right. Yeah. Is it alive? Is it active? Is this a moment to celebrate? What are we celebrating? What is like such good news that it's worth celebrating every single week is that God loves us so much that he sent his son to redeem us. And in him right now, we are accepted.
Yeah.
Right. We are perfect in Christ because of our covenant relationship with him.
Set free.
Absolutely.
Like if I go with that kind of like President Elder Rasband is like giving this talk in context of Palm Sunday, where he's just like, those people were celebrating. They were celebrating. They were calling out for help in their lives to someone that they knew could and would. They were bringing him into their story and into their – they were welcoming him into whatever their problems were. Because, what if I'm in the thick of something? Then I could actually go to that meeting and say, I'm going to actually call him into my story when I go is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to celebrate. And my other times, I'm going to, go in and I'm going to just be like – you set me free. I once was lost and now I am found. Like if I know that, I go in celebrating that. I go in being like, I was a bozo this week, but I'm going to walk into that room and he's going to set me free from that and give me a new story. And something about that. That's just give me a palm branch.
Right.
When I go. Right? Because they weren't just like, they had a reason to wave them.
Right.
And that I think is key. And he quotes President Nelson where he just says, he said, once President Nelson admonished us truly, the Palm Sunday is truly holy by remembering not just the palms that were waved to honor the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem, but by remembering the palms of his hands. And I think when our heart is set on the palms of his hands, it causes us to wave our palm leaves. Right. Like it's just right. like, oh, If I, that's like the palms in his hands say, I won't forget you.
Right.
I'm never letting you go. I've forgiven you. I adore you. I will go to the ends of the earth to rescue you.
Right.
My love has no bounds.
That's worth celebrating.
Right.
That's every week.
Yeah. And I think last week we talked, you got to go last week and just talk about, that has to be a deliberate
right.
mindset. Like, I'm going in to celebrate. I'm going in to commemorate. I'm going in with that intention. Okay. Are there hurdles to that?
Of course.
The shoes.
The leprechaun shoes.
Yes. And just my own, you know, boredom and apathy can get right. in that, right. you know. But, man, I'm not bored of this idea.
No.
Right now. And can we improve the whole experience and everything? Yes. But if individually we can improve it and then one day enjoy the collective experience right. too. Yeah.
So paint the picture for me. So if I'm walking into a reverent celebration, how do I walk in the doors? How do I sing? Like, what does that look like? How is that different? I mean, it is a vibe. It is a feel. But I think I'm joyous. I'm filled with the spirit of Jesus.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Right. I see others, and my first thought is to rejoice in their very presence,
yeah.
especially people who are different than me.
Right.
Because if he can save a sinner like me, he saves us all. And that makes us equal. We all have the same worth now because of what the Savior has done for us.
Yeah.
And so there's an equality. There's no judgment. And there's a welcoming spirit. Just the first few minutes. And when I sing, I'm worshiping. Like, I actually sing to God.
Right.
Right? How does someone, when they pray, how do they celebrate in their prayers? They don't just thank God for stuff. They don't just ask him for more stuff. But they take a minute and rejoice in his presence and actually worship him. When you listen to modern prophets, ancient prophets, they praise God in their prayers. I remember when President Hinckley prayed in front of the whole church once in General Conference. He started off by saying, "Our Father in heaven, the supreme governor of the universe." And you praise God by naming his attributes, his titles, his goodness, and you take, and that's how we start celebrating at church. And then instead of making the lessons about self-help tips, which is fine, which is good, not just good advice, but what, Dave? What,
good
Dave?
News,
Amen.
Boy.
Amen.
Listen, if I had my dream, we would have less good advice from our pulpits and more good news. Right. What if I was intentional about that? And I can be intentional about that individually. First, there's something about these saints in Ghana who are just like, listen, it's as simple as this. They walk into church with the intention to live the two great commandments. Mm. I will choose to love God when I go. I will choose to love my neighbor. Like, I will be deliberate about doing those things. And that is what will turn into a celebration.
Absolutely.
Of those things.
This Sunday, I'm ready to celebrate.
Let's go, baby.
I'm revived.
Same. See you next week.